For more than 50 years, the World Bank and International Monetary Fund have conducted business behind the scenes, underwriting huge projects, helping countries stay solvent and pushing them to overhaul their economic policies. Often, only a few bureaucrats have been involved, while millions have lived with the consequences. But that's beginning to change, NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
Tom Dawson, the IMF's chief spokesman, likes to tell this story about what happened when one of his predecessors went in to meet a new managing director. He asked his boss what he should tell the press.
And the managing director leaned back in his chair, stroked his chin, and finally responded, "You will tell them nothing."
Historically, Dawson says, the fund has likened itself to a doctor and viewed countries as patients. Doctor-patient confidentiality was the rule.
At the time, the view was that the fund gives advice, and if the country doesn't follow the advice, then that was just too bad and the country would suffer the consequences.
Then the Asian financial crisis proved that keeping things quiet could backfire. Investors left in the dark took foolish risks and then succumbed to panic. And financial woes proved to be contagious. U.S. lawmakers and other critics demanded that the IMF and the World Bank open their books. Tom Dawson says this is exactly what the IMF has done. It's pushing members to disclose all sorts of financial data. Until recently, loan agreements between borrowers and the fund were secret. Now, 90% are made public.
We encourage members to publish their loan agreements, the so-called letters of intent, in advance, and a number of countries even post the letters of intent on their domestic websites and solicit public comment prior to the loans even being presented to the board. So that's really quite a change.
Change has also come to the World Bank. Paul Mitchell is heading the bank's efforts to revamp its disclosure policies.
There's a tremendous difference both in the amount of material that's made available, but I think the bigger change has been in the processes. I mean, before you used to be able to perhaps negotiate a loan between the bank and a minister. You can't do that anymore.
A decade ago, the bank began releasing information on projects like roads and schools. Then it pushed countries to share broad planning documents. Most now do. But the biggest change came most recently, when the bank and the IMF agreed to forgive the debts of some of the world's poorest countries. These countries must show exactly how they will put the money to good use, fighting poverty, educating children, and providing health care, for instance. And they're required to seek advice and share information with the public. David Beckman, president of Bread for the World, says in Uganda, this new level of openness has changed people's lives.
Before the debt relief discussions, probably more than 50% of the money that the government of Uganda dispersed for schools got stolen by public officials somewhere up and down the line. They just agreed that when the government disperses money for schools, they announce that on the radio and put it in newspapers and they put up signs so that people who live in a little village someplace know that their little school was supposed to get some money. And so they can hold people accountable to make sure that the money's there. And by all accounts, that has reduced corruption from something over 50% to less than 10%.
The new openness has even allowed ordinary citizens to take on the bank and the fund. Activists in rich and poor countries have joined forces to publicize plans they dislike. And on occasion, the bank and the IMF have backed down. But many longtime critics still aren't satisfied.
There is a campaign, and it's a PR campaign. It's a public relations campaign to say, look, we are so much better than we have been.
Jokey Jehu heads a group called 50 Years is Enough. Jehu says some governments that are supposed to make documents public don't. Information often comes too late, she says, after decisions are already made. And many times, information isn't available in a language or format that local people can understand.
Many of the documents are written for PhDs in economics. I can read English, but most of those documents are incomprehensible.
And Jehu says the information might be on the World Wide Web, but most people in poor countries don't have computers. Bank spokesmen say they're mindful of these problems and want to solve them, but the World Bank's president, James Wolfensohn, says he can only go so far.
I'm not prepared to demand from my clients, since they're also my shareholders, that they do things they don't want to do, but I'm having a lot of effectiveness in trying to reach the goal, which is total transparency.
But critics say the World Bank and IMF should be more willing to blow the whistle on countries that have something to hide. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.